Hello, campers. So, my last post was a lot about specifically how our language is kind of borked. This is, why do we still look at the shit that we're looking at, these politics that we're looking at right now, and fifth generation warfare and how it's fundamentally shaken out? So, with Hamas having somehow access to military ordnance to attack Israel, you're really getting to see how the warmongers work fundamentally. And it's gone on for a long time, and I've got just narrowed down to, why are we looking at these events today? And the first answer is right here. It's Rockefeller. In the early 1900s, it was either the Rockefeller or the Carnegie Foundation. I was pretty sure the Rockefellers. They get down to, what is the thing that they could do that affects humanity the most? And it's basically agitation. It's war. And basically, for thousands of years, we've been operating in a wartime business model. We will destroy something that is less than convenient for enough people that will tolerate it, and we'll make a bunch of money during rebuilding. Well, to the relevant extent that you can externalize your victims, this keeps working. We're past that now. Mass media, the internet, etc., has really changed the mindset that makes a World War II documentary. A lot of people who were making those documentaries really thought it was, you know, they were documenting heroes, and to the relevant extent they were. To another relevant extent, they're documenting dumbasses, because a lot of participation is the problem. A lot of Americans were tricked to go to war with Japanese people, and I'd say Muhammad Ali is a better example of, I'll fight you right now before I go to war with those people. So, because that example really wasn't even prevalent in World War II, a lot of propaganda. So, in the military science world, I'm going to call politics 2023 psychological warfare. And I'm going to call fifth generation warfare lawfare. And if you can't see that crossover right there, I can't help you very much. So, and for those of you who don't know why I talk about lawfare, I wrote a book on it. So, go read the book. It's free. So, I'm boiling this down to, this is called Babylonian Money Magic, Something from Nothing. And that is the Federal Reserve, and that's 1913. And that is relevant because the criminals that are running the planet right now, or, you know, they were running the planet in 2016. How were these criminals running the planet? Well, you're starting to see how the World Economic Forum is a bit of a puppet master, and the WHO is a bit of a puppet master, and the UN is a bit of a puppet master. Well, I warned you about the military-industrial complex way back when. So when you understand that the military-industrial complex relies on ignorance, and that is what most people are, and Babylonian money magic, ignorant people, I've done episodes on cyber, ignorant people are very susceptible to psychological warfare for a whole bunch of reasons. So when they killed JFK, you have to understand something. The criminals were in charge. Everything that was on TV after the bullet hit JFK's head, it doesn't matter what you believe. The criminals were in charge, and they were using the media to perform Operation Mockingbird. And the stated purpose of Mockingbird is everything the American people know is a lie. Everything. So, and if you really want to take that to the extreme, imagine the CIA trying to pass out bad rock climbing tips because they're trying to get people to fall off the side of a mountain. Let alone the effects of bad information and how you can corral people into groups, and then you could use groupthink to manipulate them. Never mind that. And never mind Mockingbird for the following reason. We have a stage of the internet where the dummies all have a webcam, to include me. So when all of this stuff gets dumped on the internet and everybody has to absorb, just imagine having to absorb like 5,000 new vocabulary words a year, because that's kind of what the internet really does to you. It just inflicts you with a lot of vocabulary. And if you're not learning 5,000 new a year, you might not be to the what I will call the end of the English language yet. You won't recognize the lawyers being liars. You won't recognize the politicians being liars. That gets into the other episode. So Gulf of Tonkin, is the military complex still just chugging along? We're all operating under a human war model. And it isn't a peace model. And that's what you really have to understand. It's not a peace model. And the people who have been making the most amount of warfare, they're in Ukraine. And they have access to the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, or, you know, U.S. Congress. And it is obvious that for some reason, we will continue to find reasons to send money to wars, but we won't send any to Maui, won't send any to the homeless. Any war is good enough for Washington to fund. But there was nothing forthcoming in Maui. There's nothing. Palestine, Ohio, absolutely not. The other Palestine, no. But the place, but the people right next to, sure. Sure. So we'll get back to that in a second. In 1971, the Babylonian money magic gets perfected. Gets perfected. Until somebody figures out how to nail down what is a United States dollar, the United States will continue to use market warfare. Now, this is money warfare, and it's done on the nation-state level, and you guys have probably listened to all kinds of shit on gold and silver and how the dollar is floating, not a lot of. 86 to 08, I'm going to point out just one problem in the market, and it is the market that this guy exposed, okay? I've done some videos on it, but the way Sam Bankman-Fried operated his exchange gave everyone a template of, oh man, this is a real interesting case of fraud. However, when you take that same case of fraud and you say, what would happen if we applied this template to Wall Street? If the exchange we apply this template to is Intercontinental Exchange, what does it look like? And that is when I think everyone had a panic about what U.S. markets were made of. And they're basically made of signals intelligence and a bunch of stuff that nobody... Nothing good is really the answer. And it is why, I don't have absolute proof of that. I can't tell you that. It is unlikely that Anheuser-Busch ever wanted to have a negative quarter. And the idea that they got woke and decided to start pushing transvestites on a can, or, you know, however, it doesn't matter what you want to call them these days, they are espousing a political agenda when they are technically fiduciaries and they're supposed to only seek, they're supposed to, you know, air quotes, shareholder value. When you substitute an ideology as a value, okay, they're not suable. But a bunch of, fiduciaries should have a problem with the way Anheuser-Busch rolled that. And I would state it is far more likely that multiple companies were in on this racket in the war in Wall Street, and they run Wall Street a bit like an iceberg. And the stuff above zero is what everybody thinks they understand, but they really run it below zero on Intercontinental Exchange in some places. Some of those stocks probably were overinflated, and they needed ridiculous stories out in the media to somehow cover for this level of market deception. And I think that's where everybody is just going to recognize the dollar isn't a unit of measure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this guy, he really screwed a lot of people, because when he, this is, they're going to blackball me at the Magician's Guild. SBF gave up a method. He taught everybody a magic trick, a secret. And when this secret got out of the bag, the United States markets were basically known to be fraud. So my guess is many intelligence services across the world knew this trick, but SBF taught the civilians in the market. And that's where some shit started really going sideways, and where all of the structural problems in the system synergized to the following narrative. All of this crime that goes on behind the scenes, all the way back to JFK, it's all rolled up in, we have such a problem with the monetary system, we have such a problem with markets, that if everybody found out what fraud things really are, the golden age of fraud, and it's been known for a while. So I want to say the smartest guys in the room have known for a while about the golden age of fraud, and everybody's living in it mostly through their politics and what they understand to be lawfare. And really, it's whatever is coming through your phone is this, and whatever is coming to your door is lawfare. And, the guy, the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, and Oh, Patrick. God damn it. He used to. Sorry, Patrick. I forget Patrick's name, but Mike, the Moneypillow guy, and I'll figure Patrick's name out in a minute. They both have lost a lot of money fighting people in court to expose things. And if you really want to if you look at Bill Maher's tantrum on Joe Rogan's show, he's pissing and moaning about Donald Trump, and he's really got the Trump derangement system, Trump derangement syndrome. He's arguing about how, oh, he didn't understand something about an oath of office. If you have not signed your oath of office, you're technically not supposed to do anything. What you've really done is you've taken the pay. You've gone to admin and you've made sure that your paycheck is going to arrive, and you've signed in with all the people to get your security badge, and all the stuff around the office is good. But when you haven't signed your oath of office, you're technically not required to do anything you've promised to do. So when someone in a public office does not sign their oath of office, they are now permitted to play games. And in case it isn't obvious to everyone's politics that the politicians now, they are supposed to be servants. They talk at people as if the people are the servants. So they speak down to them and they remind them, oh, we are the ones in charge. No, they're not. They're servants. So this has all really been flipped around on everybody. And instead of looking at the servants and saying, we reserve the right to hang you by the neck until dead, these people now turn around and they try to tell people how this is going to work. Well, you've been watching the Lawfare situation develop one Tide Pod at a time. Kyle Rittenhouse, Johnny Depp, the evils of the American political system, the American legal system, the American warfare state, and the American indoctrination camp that falls out of the Department of Education, a la government school systems everywhere. Everyone's waking up to the fact that Americans technically are the fascists. We are the warmongers that send the money everywhere to cause the wars everywhere. We will find equipment to send to keep a war going, even if we're not involved in it. And I will remind everyone that the Palestinians and the Israelis are the Hatfields and the McCoys. How do you pick a side? You don't. You intentionally look at both sides because they have been doing this for 60 years. They kill each other's civilians. They fire rockets and bombs at each other into civilian areas, both sides. So again, this is a trick. This is the bread and circuses trick of you now have to pick who someone is going to show you as the victim of the day. And we have already established that there is a Jewish media mafia that intentionally sways one way. And now the state of Israel is under attack as if they haven't been part of the warmongering problem all along. So today is not the day for sympathy. Today is the day for a stiff upper lip and to say no one playing this game is to be supported for lots and lots of reasons. But let's go both ways on how it's both psychological warfare and lawfare. If the federal government was a serious organization on any fucking level, and remember, the communist propaganda is meant to be demeaning. And what we're looking at right now is infantilization plus stupid plus dishonest. Immigration in this country is a shit show. And it's not so much that we can't afford our economic model and all these people coming across the border. Fortunately, our economic model's already shot and it's going to change. So it really is a language barrier and a training problem. And a lot of people don't understand how could anyone make universal basic income a real thing. Don't worry about it. I'll get into it another day when I say there's lots of people coming here, and because universal basic income is going to basically be a planetary thing, and food is going to break out on the earth because the military industrial complex is going to get told no. But when I tell you there are some nasty predators, all the people behind Epstein, all the people who know what a goyim is, and you have to understand this is lawfare. Goyim is a lawfare term. Somebody somewhere gets sold under someone's contract law. So here's where it's psychological warfare. A long time ago, the federal government could have stepped in and could have said, all of the Jews or all of the Palestinians are going to go live somewhere in America because we can stick the entire state of Israel in fucking Delaware or New Hampshire, one of our tiny fucking states. One of our par three states can easily substitute as everyone for Israel. So when we say we got plenty of room for fucking immigrants, why don't we have room for these people? And the answer is, these evil military-industrial complex motherfuckers, they've been playing both ends against the middle. And they intentionally do not do something like a forcible relocation. There's more Jews living in America than there is in Israel anyway. So when I say Israel is basically this huge beachhead into that portion of the world, you really have to understand that we can send every aircraft carrier we have to the Mediterranean, and we can have them refueling out of Italy. And it's still a huge pain in the ass. You would much rather have Israeli airports if you have to expand. You go back to thinking about a really, really huge war, like World War II. And the U.S. is going to deploy 12 million troops to that continent. And Israel is just this huge fucking beachhead for us to do that, okay? However, the cloak and debt, you know, all the way back to the USS Liberty, this shit has been going wrong because the criminals are in charge. The fucking Epstein's client list is running this shit show. As far as immigration goes, we could have ended this conflict as soon as it started because we could have taken every Arab out of there. See, here's where forced immigration, I don't say Jesus, Donnie, that's pretty bad. We're not talking about camps. We're not talking about taking Palestinians and putting them in camps like the Japanese in World War II. We're talking about welcome to America. Welcome to the melting pot of you don't want to live near those people anyway because they'll drop fucking bombs in your neighborhood. Or, hey, we got a thick population of Jews here anyway. So the Jews go there. When you remove the Arabs, when you remove the Palestinians, all of the other Arab nations around there, they don't have a political game to play with Israel. They don't have a religious game to play with Israel. I would call it Semitic politics. There's some politics that go on between Israel and the Arab states that has nothing to do with America. So they're having their own little game over there because there isn't Israel. And I'm saying the state of Israel is intentionally an inflammatory point of contention. The military-industrial complex loves it. So I'm not advocating for or I advocate for zero states. Zero states. So I'm not going to turn around and advocate for Israel. I'm going to state that what they have is an immigration issue. What we have is an immigration issue. Had we forcibly relocated every fucking Palestinian here a long time ago, the Arabs would not have leverage to play this game. If we did it to the Jews would not have leverage to play this game. And then the Arab, listen, just imagine how much shit has been started over there. How much military-industrial complex money gets spent between the Yom Kippur War and Iron Dome itself, okay? And then you go back to, if you don't really, like, in a barely electrified world, when the Rockefellers are saying, let's just keep making war, I'm not saying they chose the easiest, okay, I am saying they absolutely chose the easiest downhill fucking option they could have chosen. So they really weren't, you know, setting the standards high for humanity. But if you really understand that a forcible relocation to the land of plenty would have been way better for all of the Palestinians before any of, I'm 46, I was born in 77. So if you go back to like 1960, almost everybody who will ever hear the sound of my voice that's alive now would have been better off had those people been moved. Almost everyone in Palestinian, and all the way back to the grandparents, yeah, they forcibly moved us here. Thinking about, you know, look at the blacks in America now that were their families were forcibly moved from Africa. Some of them are sports heroes. So when I say that the three generations down the line of we forcibly relocated your ancestors to this country, a bunch of those people are like, cool. And even the ones who aren't, they're like, okay, we have the richest poor people on the planet. So somebody's like, Don, you don't understand socioeconomics of this. Shut up, I'm from a trailer. I understand socioeconomics from a trailer. Now, do I understand dirt poor from Africa? No, and neither will anyone who was forcibly relocated here, and that's the point. I don't give a fuck who says that the Palestinians shouldn't have been relocated here. Everybody who was forcibly relocated from Africa is experiencing American poverty. They're not experiencing African poverty. So there is just a synergy. Like, America is so good at being dumb, we will fail upwards even at our dumbest. Because our intentions are fundamentally pure, despite how dumb we are. we will come up with a pot, you know, the good people will come up with a good solution. The bad people will keep trying to do this to all the dumb people, okay? So I support no one dropping JDAMs in a residential area. I support no one on Epstein's client list. I support no one using the term goyim. Uh-oh, somebody's going to call me an anti-Semite because I think that there shouldn't be any supremacists. And when we find out that the Zionists play just as nasty with Hamas as Hamas plays with the Israelis, you can recognize that there are Jews of the Torah, and there are Jews of the Talmud, and there are Jews of Israel. And when you see how Hamas plays with Israelis, you really only want them to play with the Zionist Jew in this manner. And I would state, no, I do not want to see any armed men going house to house, killing people on Sunday dinner because they are Zionists. However, when we are going to have two groups of people at each other's throats, let us please hope that the Nazis are killing the Zionists and the Zionists are killing the jihadis and the jihadis are killing the next group of people who aren't civilized. The only thing we really can do with our politics is abstain and let the violent deal with each other. And a lot of people today are saying that the Israelis didn't start it today. The Israelis aren't dropping ordnance in civilian areas. It's not correct. I commend the engineers who made JDAMs because we really do not want a weapon of such destructive force to be used liberally. We want it to be used conservatively and so specifically that we get precisely zero collateral damage. Well, guess what? Both groups do not care about collateral damage. Hamas fires rockets because they're cheap. Israelis pay through the nose for their PR campaign, and they use really expensive JDAMs, and they limit their collateral damage, but they still make it. And let me tell you, I have seen some pictures of Israeli snipers killing civilians, and that's where I go down to. There are Israelis who cheer when bombs are flying into Gaza, and that this is Hatfields and McCoys. Hatfields and McCoys, no one is good in it. No, when you take a side, you fucked up. So, what you and I would call evil people have taken control of all the dumb people. Say, you know, COVID is your understanding that this is how evil people take control of dumb people. And it really takes a long time for dumb people to figure out how bad this is. Well, the good news is we are all going through, you know, what a lot of people are calling an awakening process, an ascension process. I hope the Christians are hearing a rapture or a revelation, because this is called revelation of the method. And when you understand revelation of the method, you won't think that this is a belief. It's not a belief system. Here's the methods that these people use to control your politics by lying to you and conducting psychological warfare on you. And when you understand that lawfare and psychological warfare, I would like to send, you know, a respectful heart out to everyone who's ever had to be on a jury. Because if you think you understood what the law was supposed to be, you didn't understand how the court was fucking with you the minute you walked in there. That's all. And I will state, if you think the juries are a good idea, you should never be threatened to be a juror. Jury service should not be mandatory. I do understand why people say it's a privilege. And then I say that privilege can never be handed out randomly. You have to only allow that privilege to go to credentialed subject matter experts whose goal is to teach people a small science class on the stand. They are not there to testify one way or the other. They are there as an expert witness. So, why is politics 2023 so screwed up? The people on the TV are evil as fuck. We just got done figuring out, a la Kanye, how we really do have a Jewish-controlled media. Now, I'm really close to the end here, and I'm going to say this. My two cents, my opinion, and I hate opinions, my opinion is that the state of United States government is weak. The state of Israeli government somewhat reflects the ability to call on Big Brother. And if you can, if Israel can't call on the U.S. for backup, the state of Israel might be a real problem. Does anybody think there'll be a state of Israel 12 months after the fall of the federal government? Because I would probably say no. And I would say that a lot of people are figuring out, I have stated, it is my, again, my opinion, and now I have other sources that have stated this, not just speculation, but some people are confirming that basically Trump did bankrupt the U.S. government, and it was done when he left, and that Joe Biden is running the continuity of government operations project. He is not really in charge of the federal government, but he is in charge of a vast amount of funds. And here's the thing, when these evil people, they've been running this fucking money system, they've been running the fucking politics, they think about all the money that didn't go to Maui, didn't go to people here, but did go to Ukraine, and now they're going to find more for Israel. They're going to find more. Where are they finding it from? Where are these secret coffers that they will only throw at war? Where are they? Okay? So you really have to see it to believe it. This is what's happening on the day-to-day, on the minute-to-minute. And I really... You know you are not warriors, civilians. You want to know why so many civilians die in combat? Because they deserve it, okay? Civilians aren't supposed to be in combat. You're supposed to run away from a war. So welcome to psychological warfare, civilians. I will not. I mean, you're not warriors because you're on the battlefield, but you got to recognize it is a battlefield. You can't escape it. I will give the civilians a little bit of a break because when you can see the battlefield coming towards you and you don't move and you get killed, it's your fault. But when the battlefield is inescapable, there is nowhere you run. The battlefield is somewhere between the dollar and the information sphere. That's pretty much it. It's the dollar and the information sphere. And being a military intelligence guy, not only do I know that it's a really hard life to sell information, but it's a really hard life to get good information. So pass the good information, folks. These are the events that are running your politics right down to why is Israel still finding money? Let's be really happy that the Ukrainian government has sapped the monetary strength out of the Biden regime and its coffers because, man, and we really do not want to get involved in any kind of religious war between Islam and Judaism. We don't want to be anywhere near it. We don't want to be funding either side of that. But I guarantee it would be very hard for Saudi Arabia to even pretend this was possible when we were running on petrodollars and all of their wealth was basically saved in U.S. bonds and shit. So they would be told, no, you are not permitted to support Israel. And now because of the waning of the petrodollar, because of BRICS learning how to deal in gold and cryptocurrencies and not learning how to deal in dollars for gold, or not for gold is for oil and other fiat is for oil. It's not just dollars. So the dollar, all of this stuff is changing. You don't have to like what I told you. But if you think that our border is relevant, understand they send more money to the Ukrainian border. They're going to send more money to the Israeli border. It's fake. It's a big Potemkin theater on TV. It's so fake because all this shit could have been solved. And the answer is we are in fifth generation warfare. Those trains are not tipping over by themselves. The factories are not burning themselves. But the scale of the warfare, truth be told, my estimation is that it is not worth panicking everyone. That what we're calling fifth generation warfare, both in the media, both in the monetary systems, in the political systems, in the flipped over trains and the burning factories, all of it. On a planetary scale, it appears to be so small that you would just call it a police action. But it would be a global police action, and people would freak out about that. So it appears that good people are cleaning up all of this garbage, right down to the warfare state model that we're dealing with. But everyone's getting bad information. And again, communist propaganda is to demean. If we were getting decent propaganda, it wouldn't be so goddamn demeaning. It wouldn't be so obviously stupid. It wouldn't be, please believe us. You know, please clap. The communist propaganda method is to say, please clap when you're done. And you're supposed to feel so terrified that clapping is your natural reaction. Well, we're past clapping. We're past giving a fuck. This is just the way it is now. And if you don't understand it, it absolutely keeps happening. And you will have your foreign and your domestic policy intentionally used against each other. You'll have your narrative be false and true for your problem and your solution. And then everyone will start, every pundit will have a different take, and the whole purpose is to cause a verbal traffic jam that confuses the hell out of everyone. And you have to sort the whole verbal traffic jam out, and you have to sort all the relevant events out, down to the Epstein's client list is on the run. And they can't flip over too many more trains because we're not going to allow human trafficking. And it appears that Ukraine is into human trafficking, and it appears that certain regimes, one of which is Israel, will harbor pedophiles and organ trafficking and things of this nature. So when you look at the statute, if you pay attention, Bibi Netanyahu's been having some statutory reforms. I don't know exactly what they are, but what they advertise on TV isn't necessarily good. Or isn't necessarily good info. It's not necessarily correct. But I will say any nation state that is filled with what I will call genuinely good people, and they found out that human organ harvesting was permitted, they might have an uprising and say, wait a minute, we're not going to permit this fucking shit here. And that's, again, I go back to Babylonian money magic, the Satanists, the Talmudists, the cannibals, and other people who recognize that humans can be turned into food or some other kind of medical product or value, monetary change. Yes, they do it. And then you look at all the statutory systems and look what, we just get abused. Somebody calls and Jeff Epstein gets released. Somebody calls and Epstein gets released. And nobody calls and the border immigration situation is kept quiet. But we're gonna let 200,000 people across a month. Now, these people are not coordinated that are coming into America. They're not coordinated. But they do all speak Spanish. So if somebody, they can be sneaking rebels into here, but we don't need rebels. And all these people seem to be coming here for economic reasons, and no one seems to be stopping them. So when I say this would, if this was a real, real threat to this area, this would be much worse. It's not. It's an economic issue, and you really have to understand that if we're not going to have a warfare state, that immigration goes back to being a lot cooler. But people don't necessarily understand that. So I'm not so much pro-immigration because the immigration that we're watching is being funded. And again, it's these people who are going to fund a bunch of fucking no-names to come up in here and then try their hand at squatting. You know, are we going to have tiny homes for everyone to Espanol as they integrate in here? We don't know. But I'm not so much worried about that because people don't understand how universal basic income would work. Here's how it would work. One, we change our monetary standard to kilowatt hours. Two, any nuclear power plant at that point, by definition, prints money. Three, you can hand out universal basic income. Yes, you can. Even if it was the form of free electricity. And all of the things that come from free electricity, in and of itself, it just makes life easier. So when I say, let's chill out about what everybody considers universal basic income, let's take a hard look. I'll leave it with this. There's three ways. There's a moral, an ethic, and a method. Okay? And this works like this. And this works like this. So you have a method. This is amoral. This has nothing to do with humans and their opinions and philosophy. This has to do with three-dimensional space. I had 10 talents. I had 4 donkeys. I had to do something with my method. An ethic is we're trying to have a principle. And ethics, this is just a specific word for principles. Ethics get very deep into certain principles. So you take a specific ethic and you take a method and you put it together, you get a moral or a parable. If you wanted to say morals are about the method and parables are about the ethic, that's fine. We would just be really specific with our words. But the United States needs to have a moral discussion because our ethics permit cannibals, our ethics permit goyim, and that is where we need to have the ethical talk. The method talk is what nobody wants to have because none of this should be happening. So many common sense people would show up and put a goddamn end to the lawfare with moral arguments because when you decide that your ethics don't have cannibals in them, no shit, it is this easy. when there is no argument on the North American landmass for cannibalism and any of the cannibal byproducts that involve cannibal and goyim, whenever you get rid of that, your lawfare situation looks Amish overnight. Okay? But you do have to determine every word, and then you do have to parse everything out so everyone can really understand. Any method that allows you to accidentally become a goyim is not permitted. No one is permitted to contractually suck you in for your kidney. And then we do have an exception process. You may donate a kidney, but you can't ever accidentally end up on the kidney list. And again, the exception is when we have such a refined method that someone loses their kidney, but they don't get an infection. Someone else gets the kidney, and it is a donation. So are there exceptions to the donated kidney? Yes. Can there be exceptions to cannibalism? No. Is there a moral argument in the middle? Unfortunately. So everyone needs to understand that their moral arguments based in their philosophies are so fucking stupid that when you learn methods, adults enter the conversation. Well, adults have not been able to enter the conversation. Everybody has a belief and a value and some faith, some trust, and everything is stupid. So if anyone would like to argue with me about politics, best of luck. Learn how a blockchain system works, and you will learn how much of this has become very predictable and how, you know, everybody's learning about how lawfare works. I wrote a book on it several years ago. So figure out how lawfare works, and you will figure out how a lot of this becomes a lot simpler, a lot saner, a lot less dumb, at least for you. At least for you. I have to watch it because until my crypto investments are rolling, this is my job. This is my ongoing task of every once in a while I will throw out best piece of education I have and or best read on politics that I got. See you later, campers. Don't be a Potemkin.
When all of your flaws and all of my flaws are laid out one by one, a wonderful part of the mess that we made, we pick ourselves undone. All of your flaws and all of my flaws, they lie there hand in hand. Ones we've inherited, ones that we learned, they pass from man to man. There's a hole in my soul, I can't fill it.